everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Alan Hudson, and I'm your host this week for Inspire Indeed, a show dedicated to discussing community issues and hearing from the people who are working to address them. Our guests on this show certainly inspire us to become even more engaged in our community, and we hope that this show does the same for all of you tuning in today. Our guest today is Lynn Atkins, Artistic Director of One Voice Chorus. One Voice's vision is to be recognized as a model of the enriching power of choral music to bring together people historically separated by racial tensions. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks for being here. If you could, let's start with you telling us how One Voice got started.
Absolutely. Well, One Voice was founded in 2001 when the artistic director, Glenn McCune, had the idea to get together with Barbara Branham, who was then the music director at Ebenezer Baptist Church in the Jackson Ward, and they put together a concert which they called One Voice. Performers wanted to continue with this tradition of singing, and thus we became One Voice Chorus from that one concert.
That's fantastic. Lynn, tell me, what is it about music that can help us, that touches us this way?
Well, I believe, especially in this type of environment where we're dealing with the diversity, if you will, of African Americans and European Americans, that we learn from each other's cultures. So that is the reason why I feel we're able to sing spirituals as well as gospel and Broadway, but also classical masterpieces that One Voice has done now for over 11 years.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us about your chorus members and how they're selected.
We're entirely unique in the fact that we are a community chorus that is designed to attract people from different cultures, as I've said before. We definitely work towards reconciliation of people of African American background as well as European American background, but we also have within ourselves other ethnicities as well. So we are truly a diverse group, if you will. We're entirely unauditioned. So the singers that you'll hear today in our performance, as well as whenever you hear One Voice, have not been auditioned. Within our full chorus, we do have a chamber ensemble that goes through a selection process, but they are still members of the full group, and the full group, anyone comes in as late as a week before a concert, we would accept people. So we're very, very reaching out to our community and very open and happy to have anyone who wants to sing with us.
So if there aren't auditions, tell us about your practice schedule. From hearing you all, I can tell you must practice a lot.
Yes, that is true. We do rehearse on Monday nights for about 2 hours here in downtown Richmond. We start our rehearsals with a group warm-up. We take about 10 minutes to really work on vocal technique, listening to each other as a group. And then we move into warm-up strategies that help us prepare for the rehearsal that has been planned out by myself, as well as our assistant conductor, Tom Bainham. And then from that point on, we step into the repertoire that we're working on for the rehearsal cycle, whether it be the Gloria, which we're working on right now by Antonio Vivaldi, or it be a spiritual by Moses Hogan, one of our wonderful composers from the late 20th century. We strive to make sure that every note is learned well and that we sing it with meaning and integrity. I feel that that is very important when we deliver to this specific audience that follows us, because they know about our diversity and they know how much we care about delivering music that truly reaches the soul.
Well, that's great. Tell us about the leadership of One Voice.
Absolutely. Well, I stepped on in early of this year, in April, as the artistic director for Glenn, who retired. And at the same time, I was joined by my colleague, Melissa Dunn, as our executive director. One Voice is also staffed by a wonderful group of board of directors that reach throughout our area, and they're led by Adele Johnson, who is our president. Kind of completing the staff, if you will, we have Tom Bainham, who I mentioned before, as our assistant conductor, our fabulous accompanist, Rita Smith, and then we're also helped by so many different volunteers through everything that we do. So we thrive on not only our paid staff, our volunteers as well, and we work with, you know, great integrity towards our goal, which is to sing the beauty and power of diversity.
Our listening audience is now in for a treat. We are going to hear a live performance of the first movement of Vivaldi's Gloria. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR LP 97.3 FM. You can hear previous shows on our blog, inspireindeed.blogspot.com. Today we're talking with Lynn Atkins of One Voice Chorus. Lynn, what's the name of the website where people can get more information?
Absolutely. We're easy to find, www.onevoicechorus.org. And on our website, we host a numerous amount of information about our concerts, who we are, how we got started, as well as ways that our audience and people who are listening to us can contribute to making One Voice something that really reaches out to the community, whether that is through your wonderful donations that come in, joining us for a concert cycle or joining us for a few concert cycles. We're always willing to have new members come and join us, or hiring out the ensemble. The One Voice Ensemble travels throughout the Richmond area as well as the Tri-Cities, and we bring our little piece of One Voice out to many, many different people. One Voice Ensemble has been heard in several different areas, as well as Washington, D.C. We've sung gigs in South Boston, Virginia, for example. And we're always willing to bring our little slice of music to anyone who's willing to listen.
Always willing to take your show on the road, as it were.
Absolutely, yes.
So tell us, how many people attend, you know, how many people actually attend your performances each year? Give us a sense of that.
Sure. We tend to have an audience of around 500 to 600. We do a great job of selling our tickets, and we do tickets a little uniquely, if you will. We ask for a suggested donation. You are always able to purchase your tickets in advance from any chorus member that you may know or get in contact with, or you can always contact us through the website, and we can get tickets to you that way. Once the concert is at hand and you arrive at the concert, we ask that you put your donation in at that time. No one will be at the door with the actual tickets for you at that time. So we really want to make sure that we are open for our community. And that's one way that we do that.
Oh, that's wonderful. And then how many performances would you say you have in any given year?
The full chorus does 3 to 4 performances in a year. This concert cycle, we're doing 3. Our concert coming up on December 7th, which will feature the Gloria, as you've heard one movement of, as well as works for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. And then we do traditionally a performance in March and then again in June. As we move through this concert season, in March we'll be doing contemporary spirituals featuring many recent composers working with the African-American spiritual genre. And then in June we'll be joined by the Shenandoah Valley Children's Chorus under the conducting of one of my great mentors, Joanne Vandervakromi, and they will come join us for a jazz concert in June.
Oh, those sound really exciting. Tell us a little bit more about the upcoming December concert, if you could.
Absolutely. We felt that it was very important that we wanted to do something special for our holiday season. And so we sat down and we came up with the idea of making sure to represent each of our December holidays as well as possible. So we selected the Gloria to represent Christmas, as it speaks of the greater doxology. It speaks of Christ and his coming. And then we wanted to make sure we represented Kwanzaa well. So I went and we studied very hard one piece called 7 Principles, which deals with Bernice Johnson Reagan, who is a great, great advocate of of Kwanzaa. And I feel that her piece within it talks about the 7 different principles of Kwanzaa. And so we really worked hard on that. And through that, we then selected 3 pieces to go with it that picked on those 7 principles. In the Hanukkah set, we decided to be a little bit more classical in how we handled that set while still honoring other specific genres of music. The Sevillon, which is a song talking about Hanukkah, is written in a jazz idiom style. So you'll hear kind of that smooth choral jazz that might remind people of the Swingle Singers or the Real Group, two really great jazz ensembles within their own right. But then we also represent a Handel with the Judas Maccabeus Hallelujah Amen from one of his oratorios. So we really try to make sure that we're bridging the gap between what some audiences might consider European-American Western music, as well as African-American spiritual jazz in that idiom. So we're really working to bridge that together.
Tell us, how is One Voice funded?
Well, One Voice depends on the generosity of individuals as well as corporate sponsors, as well as grants and things that we find within the community. It's getting tougher and tougher in today's environment with the way the economy is to fund projects and things that we do. So we're extremely, extremely thankful for any donations that come in, whether they be, again, through individual means as well as corporate means.
And now for another live performance, this time of Light the Candles of Freedom. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR LP 97.3 FM. Today we're talking with Lynn Adkins of One Voice Chorus. Lynn, who are some of your community partners that assist with your work?
Well, we owe a great bill of thanks to many people in our area, starting with the Lippman Foundation and Culture Works, and other arts foundations over the years that have assisted us with our work. We have also attracted some wonderful brand new sponsors to One Voice this concert cycle from the likes of Martin's Grocery as well as H.H. Hunt Homes, who have helped us greatly in our program advertising. Our annual budget becomes somewhere around $120,000. So when we get these corporate sponsorships, they really, really help fill in that total that we need to create. So concerts like Gloria and concerts like Contemporary Spirituals can be done for many, many years to come.
Oh, that's great. So tell us, where do you hope One Voice Chorus will be in 10 years?
You know, that's something I spend a lot of time thinking about. And as a guy who's just kind of getting out of his own graduate steps and moving on forward, I really hope to see One Voice be something that reaches not only Richmond and not only Virginia, but through our nation. I feel that even now in 2013, it's extremely important that we still discuss the issues of diversity, the issues of culture, not only because through singing do we show culture. There's something special about being in the choir. There's something special about coming together every Monday and not necessarily knowing exactly who you're always going to be sitting next to, because it may be a new member that has joined over the past week or something like that. And you get to share a bit of your life every Monday with that person. And through that relationship that you build, we're easing the idea that diversity is something that is scary. We're making it very easy and very comfortable to join together and to feel. So I really hope that from our example, maybe another choir similar to us will form in the West Coast or will form in the Heartland. And through that, we truly do become one huge family and we get to depend on each other.
Oh, that's great. Tell me, how is the definition of inclusiveness changed over the years with One Voice? And how do you see it changing going forward?
Well, I think the issue, or rather the definition of inclusiveness with One Voice as it started came from Glenn's want to make sure that what happened back in the 60s with the civil rights movement and really trying to create equality for all, I think that has still resonates with us today. I think that I even though just being here 6 to 7 months have really taken that up. And I really strive to make sure that when I select repertoire, it always includes something that is new for someone else. A lot of the stereotypes out there about African-American singers is that, oh, they don't necessarily always like to work with classical music. Well, speaking as a young African-American male, I grew up on the works of Handel and on the works of Mozart and on the works of Rachmaninoff. And those are the things that I enjoyed singing as a student in my undergrad and in my graduate study programs. And then there are those who feel that people who come from European American backgrounds don't necessarily understand jazz or don't understand spirituals. And if you were to listen to One Voice Chorus, I think you would totally come away with that stereotype blown out of the water as you look across this choir and you see African Americans and European Americans standing together, just absolutely jamming out on gospel style and blues style spirituals. So I think inclusiveness for One Voice is that we can teach anyone to sing in any genre. And I think that is, again, one of the reasons why One Voice Chorus is so unique.
Tell us, Lynn, how can listeners get involved?
Well, listeners have a variety of ways to get involved with One Voice. You can always feel free to join us at any of our concerts. Please, again, visit us at www.onevoicechorus.org for our concert information. You can always feel free to contact us to make a donation. Any donation that we receive will move us forward towards bringing music to everyone in our lovely city here of Richmond. And then if you're so willing and so inclined, please come join us for a concert. We're always happy to have you. We rehearse at 7th Street Christian Church right here in the heart of Richmond. We would love to see you.
Well, that's great. If we could, let's just talk a minute about your career progression. You mentioned
absolutely
recently completing, getting out of some graduate studies. Tell us what drew you into the musical field and what drew you into the nonprofit world.
Well, I was driven into the music field by some really wonderful teachers when I was a high school student. And even as a middle school student, I was always enamored by music. And that drove me to Westminster Choir College in 2000 to study music education as a voice student. When I graduated from there, I taught in the Ewing Township school system of New Jersey for 4 years. And while I was teaching and enjoying it, something just didn't feel quite right for me. I felt like I was missing something in my plot to teach students about music. And so I started looking for graduate schools and ended up going to James Madison University in 2008 to earn a dual Master's of Music and Doctoral of Music Arts in choral conducting.
Wow.
Quite a wonderful program that JMU has there. And from there, I met Carrie Stevens, who introduced me to Glenn McCune, and Glenn told me a lot about One Voice. So when I saw that he was retiring, I said, that sounds like something I want to do. And through One Voice, I have received more than my fair share of opportunities to teach as well as to perform choral music in a genre I had never originally imagined myself to be in. I always thought I'd be a school teacher and, you know, very happy to do that. But with One Voice, I am not only that school teacher, I am a conductor. I stand on that podium and enjoy working with such fine individuals who are all volunteer, who may have sung in high school choirs or sung in church choirs or not even sung before and knew that they had a voice, but are just coming to do this one thing. And that's quite awesome and quite powerful. The idea of working for a nonprofit, that never even crossed my mind. I never knew it would be possible to work in this genre. But I will admit, now that I'm in it, I don't ever see myself leaving it. I want to continue to fight and work towards equality for not only just African Americans and European Americans, but to make sure that music is there for everyone. And if this is the venue that I need to use, so be it. I'm very happy to do it.
Tell us, what do you, you know, how do you feel about living in Richmond? What do you love about Richmond?
Well, Richmond, I'm still learning. I love being in Richmond. It has been so awesome to be here and to spend time going down Monument Avenue, especially for me as a guy who's from New Jersey. It's very different how Richmond sits and how Richmond reaches out towards its history and its culture. So I've been spending a lot of time learning about the Confederacy, actually, which is not something to be ashamed of or embarrassed of, but to really understand what happened here during the mid point of the 19th century. And through that, I have actually started to learn so much more about Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and all of these figures that I kind of knew in the back of my head from history. But now that I'm actually kind of in their land, I'm really enjoying to learn about and understanding why they felt the fight that they fought was so important and ultimately brought the United States together even stronger. So fighting for what is right, absolutely, absolutely right up my alley.
Well, that's great. Lynn, thank you so much for being here today. I'm thrilled that you were able to join us, and I'm thrilled that the One Voice Chorus was able to join us too. Also, a big thank you to our fellow volunteers at WRIR-LP, including Danny Naftali and Jay Westerman, who help out on the technical side of getting this live show on the air, Brittany Tracy, who makes sure that we keep the Inspire Indeed blog up to date at inspireindeed.blogspot.com, and Jesse Johnson, whom you'll find down here managing the soundboard. If you want to learn how you can join our team or donate to the station, go to WRIR.org. And finally, a big thanks to my Inspire Indeed partners, Elaine Summerfield and Mark Hickman. My name is Alan Hudson, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofit leaders making a difference. Thanks for tuning in today.